Hey friends, welcome to the Gamer Heroes podcast. My name is Cam, with me here is Thomas.
It's me.
Hey, what's up Thomas, how's it going?
Living the dream.
Living the dream? Why are you living the dream?
Actually, hey, this past weekend, I know you were busy, but we had we had Cross Up, which is our bi-monthly fighting game tournament, and this was the first time we did 2 days. We did Saturday with all the standard games, Tekken, Street Fighter, Dragon Ball Z, and then on Sunday we did Smash. First time we've ever done that.
Like so, Smash just all day?
Smash all day. We did singles and doubles, and then just hang out for a while. But it was
cool.
Great.
Awesome.
It was in the movie theater, so it was very entertaining.
That's awesome. That's a really good place. I know people listening to this probably won't understand where we're talking about, but it's just a cool little like kind of bar arcade movie theater thing in Kansas City that's pretty awesome. I really like going to stuff in that movie theater. It's really just kind of neat to play Smash Brothers on a giant screen with a bunch of people watching, you know?
Yeah, it is sweet. We got a stage for the first time, so, you know, the hype level, like the pressure on you is so much higher when you're up on a stage in front of everybody. because they can see you, like you and your partner going head-to-head, or, you know, your opponent. But they can also see everything on the theater screen, which is the, which shows the, what is it, the Twitch stream.
Gotcha.
Like you actually see the stream on on there. So you actually see what people would see if they're watching remotely, which is kind of cool because it's got the score on there and a bunch of different stuff. But that was really fun, but man, I am beat.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit beforehand. You just sound completely exhausted. Usually you're just like, yeah, hey, let's kind of be lively and talk, and you're just sitting here just like death is coming for you. Like,
right. I can see it on the horizon.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so okay. Well, I gotta catch up again because we got, you know, the party never stops, and we got more stuff. I mean, we got this on Mondays. We got our other event on Wednesdays, and then it sounds like we're going to knock out some of our other podcasts that's in the pipeline here on Thursday. But just a lot of stuff, and time waits for no man. So
yeah, that is certainly true. Since I've started like coming on and doing this, I have been finding that I have no free time anymore. I went from having kind of too much to literally none whatsoever, which is fine. You know, whatever. I'm having fun. That's good.
Works.
But
it's a lot easier exhausting. When it's like, oh yeah, I'll go in once or twice. And then it's like days like today, I was like, man, I straight up do not want to record. But I don't want to be the reason that we don't have an episode, right? So it's like, all right, I know I can do this.
We can power through.
Yeah,
it's only
like
an hour and some change. But,
So that's a good thing. Honestly, it's nice having it at the beginning of the week on Monday. Of course, we released this on Wednesday, but you know, the beginning of the week, nice and chill. Because at least this is fun. At least
totally.
We can sit down.
I don't really think of this as work.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, again, welcome to the Gamer Heroes podcast. It's good to have you guys. Just a little bit of housekeeping for you. We're on Spotify now.
Hey-o!
That's pretty neat.
That is pretty
neat. It was a little weird seeing my name on something on Spotify. I know that's kind of a lot more, that's much more common nowadays, but that still seems kind of like, oh, this is kind of surreal in a weird way for me. So definitely check us out if you haven't yet. You can come see us and the rest of the shows on the Heroes Podcast Network at Planet Comic Con. I believe that is the last weekend of March, correct?
And very end.
I know each of the shows, I believe, are going to be doing a panel. Our show, I think, is Friday evening?
Yeah, it's Friday at 4:30.
Okay.
And Friday is... what is Friday?
Is it March
29th?
I think
it's the 29th, yeah.
I think, yeah, sure something 29th. Like that. So, yeah, that'll be cool. Come out, say hi. I won't be there because I joined way too late, and that's totally okay. but totally come out, say hi, check us out, support the other panels as well. Just have a good time. Planet Comic Con, excuse me. Seems pretty rad. I haven't been yet, but I'm probably going to maybe try to check it out this time.
Yeah,
around,
I went for the first time last year, just wore my GKC shirt and just wandered, you know, to just try to meet people and see. I just love people watching, to be honest.
Oh, that'd be really good for it, too.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I bet.
You know, and each day is different each day. I mean, just like a music festival, to be honest, it has its own personality.
Mm-hmm.
Just the different dynamic of who's there and what times of day and all that stuff. I kind of like watching all that stuff play out. I'm probably the thing I'm actually most excited for is my favorite cosplayer is going to be there. I haven't really had a favorite cosplayer in a long time.
Yeah.
But her name is... I always say it wrong, but it's Kumai. K-U-M-I-A.
Okay.
I never say it right.
That's okay.
But she is fantastic, and she has done a ton of work for a bunch of different people. Right now, she's building she's sponsored by EA. She's making a freelancer cosplay for Anthem.
Nice.
And probably the best one she has is her Monster Hunter one, which is incredible.
Oh, I can imagine you can do some really cool stuff with that.
Man, I haven't even played that game, and it does not matter that it's like the Nergigante armor. It is so cool. And so she has these really cool tutorials. Like, she sells books and all this stuff. It's really cool. She's just really positive. I think she's somewhere in Europe. I cannot remember what country. I want to say like Switzerland, but boy, I could sure be off on that. Or Sweden. I think she's from Sweden.
Okay.
But don't take my word for it, because I am terrible with information. So go look her up. I'm hoping I'm going to go buy one of her calendars. She has calendars that are cosplay and corgi calendars.
Oh, that's rad.
Yeah. So she always has her corgis in her videos too, which is funny.
Pretty cool.
So I'm going to go buy one of those and hopefully get it signed, which is exciting. And then you talked to me that Kinda Funny's doing a panel there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm a big Kinda Funny fan, and all of them are just coming out, which is going to be really rad. I'm really excited to go check that out. Kind of weird to see, like, it's always been kind of surreal living in really the Midwest and just seeing, like, having this cool area for, like, content creators or, like, people or, like, actors or writers and stuff that you've always looked up to, and then they're coming to you for something. Mm-hmm. It's just a really kind of neat thing. We're the flyover states. Totally.
And it's nice that we have a scene here that really acts as a hub for stuff like this.
Yeah, it's really nice. And I definitely wasn't actually aware of Planet Comic Con until last year, but I, like, started keeping up with it on Facebook, and I'm like, man, they are pulling in some, like, big names. Like, wasn't Jason Momoa here last year or something, which is wild.
Right.
Only reason I knew about that is because my mom would not quit talking about how hot she thinks he is.
He is a hot man.
I mean, you're not wrong, but, yeah, like, I thought it's just pretty wild to see that stuff out here, and I know, like, Kansas City's definitely, I would say, kind of on the rise, and, like, it's not insignificant, but it definitely feels looked over when you think about, like, oh, well, like, New York City or, like, San Diego or, like, Seattle or something like that. So, yeah, that's really cool. I'm really looking forward to that. Definitely check it out if you guys haven't. I believe they're still selling tickets. I hope they're still selling tickets.
Yeah, they are. And the topic, so it is on the 29th, I checked.
Okay, great.
It's for sure on the 29th at 4:30. But if that changes, we'll announce that on here and across social media. But the topic that we're going to cover, so it'll be me, Mike, and three other people. We've had Jimmy on the podcast.
Yeah.
So Jimmy will be there, but two other friends, Devi and Devin, actually. We'll have them on, and what we're going to talk about is positive models in gaming, like how to be a positive role model, who is a positive role model to you, you know, in a culture that can be very toxic, especially in the age of Twitter, where the most vocal people who get the most attention are usually very passionate, and often they are upset.
Yes.
And
it's a lot easier to be angry and loud than it is nice and loud.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah.
So we want to shine a spotlight on those people who are nice and loud.
Yeah.
And talk about what that means. So I'm excited for that. There are a lot of great people and forces and organizations in gaming that are totally underappreciated, underrepresented, you know. I love the episode we did about accessibility with the adaptive controller and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I would just love to talk and learn more about all that stuff. I just think that stuff's fantastic. That I liked that adaptive controller commercial came on during the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
so everybody got to see it.
Made me cry a little bit. That was a good commercial. Like, that was really cool to kind of see that happen there. But yeah, that sounds like it'll be a really, really good panel. I'm going to have to come by and check that out.
Yeah, it'll be a good time.
Yeah, for sure. So tell me, Thomas, have you heard of video games?
No, but okay. My brother, he's told me that I should get into them.
Okay, cool. Well, has he told you which ones that you might be playing in this hypothetical situation where video games don't exist? Been playing anything?
If I was playing something, you know, it would probably be Apex.
Yeah.
Really, that's pretty much it. I actually haven't had very much time to play much of anything this past week. I did squeeze in a few wins on Apex, which was, of course, very satisfying.
Right.
Especially when one of the people we were playing with, my buddy Colin, who I regularly play with, he's pretty serious about winning. Like, I mean, I talk to him about that a lot. I'm like, you know, it's hard to play with your friends because you know, not everybody's looking for.
Yeah,
not
if you, playing if you guys are on reason. Like a different kind of like competition level in terms of like what you're wanting out of it.
That yeah,
because
like
you don't want to be a dick to your friends just because right. you want to win. Cause yeah, that's way more harmful.
100%. Yeah, yeah, because that'll ruin your game time and your friendship.
Oh yeah, totally.
So
definitely do want.
Yeah,
that.
I've talked to Colin and you know I've been very open with him and he's interested in. Getting better with me. I just don't like losing the same way twice. You know,
fair.
If we made yeah. a mistake, I just want to not do it again. Mm-hmm. And when that does happen, I have to reassess what I'm doing because I have to be like, okay, I'm playing with my buddy. I know he's like, he wants to win, but I know he's not mm-hmm. He's not practicing.
Right.
You know, he's not in it to just granularly improve the
yeah.
way that I
so
want
I,
to.
So I was actually just messing around on my PS4 the other day because I'm like in between, like I finished Kingdom Hearts 3 and I'm like I'm probably gonna go through and like try to get the platinum trophy on that because I just
yeah.
really enjoy doing that with a lot of stuff, but
I've never gotten a single platinum trophy.
I've gotten a lot of platinum trophies.
I think I'm gonna go for the Celeste one actually.
Really nice.
Yeah, because
that would be super rewarding for
it's,
sure
it's tough, but honestly like the B-sides, once you beat them, I mean, you beat them.
Yeah.
And finding the strawberries isn't impossible. Mm-hmm. I remember when I went back to find all the collectibles, it's kind of, it can be annoying when you're like, oh, sweet, I never saw this secret last time. And then you go and you realize, oh, yeah, you did.
Yep.
You already collected the thing.
Yep. Gotcha.
But it tells you that there's a pop-up that shows, like, there's a lineup of strawberries. And it doesn't just show how many you got, it shows, like, there's an order to them, so if you're missing two strawberries at the beginning, but the rest of the line is filled in, you know that the strawberries can
oh,
be found
really cool.
at the beginning of the level.
That's
so
really cool.
Yeah, so I know that like once I reach a certain point, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, like if I only had to find two strawberries, one of them is at the beginning, one of them is at the end. I know that in the middle section, I can just speed up and go through. But yeah, that's cool. And yeah, I think that'll be the first one I platinum.
Nice.
That B-side
kind
is
kind of going off on this tangent
daunting.
A little bit. Oh man, and I love almost all of the music in that game, but man, those B-sides, like that music slaps hard. It is so good.
You know what's
holy
funny
crap.
I've heard that and I totally like, I mean, they're good. I'm glad they're good because you hear them on repeat the
right.
whole level,
the entire level. Yeah,
but it does, you know, it's good sound design where different parts of the level or the mm-hmm. Song will kick in based on where you are in the level and stuff, so you're not always listening to the exact same thing. But it's the original soundtrack for me. Like, the B-sides
yeah.
are cool.
I mean, it's all great. I'm not saying that soundtrack is bad at all. It's genuinely incredible. I listen to that still just casually just
yeah,
all the
I
time.
That
but
that game actually, I would say that is the game that's now gotten me into lo-fi
really?
Music. Yeah, because I've listened to
that.
It before, but never been like, oh, yeah.
I feel like it's the game that has certainly gotten the closest for me. Because I'm usually very, like, I like very kind of active music as opposed to something that seems kind of, like, ethereal or dreamy or anything like
right.
that. But, yeah, like, that Celeste soundtrack did it for me, and I kind of didn't expect it to.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Celeste is a good game.
Celeste is a good game. So, you're going to platinum Kingdom Hearts?
Yeah, I think so. I have a tendency to, if I really like something, I just, like, stick through with a platinum. Mm. Case in point, Persona 5. That was like 200
yeah, nice
hours.
Nice short game.
Oh, man. The only reason I did that was because I was unemployed. Like, I just like found myself without a job at the start of last year. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm finishing this. And I sure did.
Right.
I don't recommend that if you don't have time for that, by the way.
Yeah.
Like now
oh,
I would
no.
be like, that's just staying unchecked.
No. But, yeah, that's why, you know, it's remarkable how your gaming habits change
right.
with your lifestyle, mm-hmm. you know, just from, you know, year to year, but also week by week. Mm-hmm. I mean, like this past, like weeks like my past week. I only have time for quick in and out games. Like mm-hmm. I keep wanting to boot up Red Dead again because I'm still at the very beginning of that game and I really like it. But that's a game that you have to play for like at least an hour at a time
definitely,
to really
definitely.
Soak it in. So I like that I still have it on the back burner. I like it and it's mm-hmm. always ready to go. It's not one of those things I have to like convince myself to play.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely have to. That's like a Sunday morning game for me now.
Yeah.
Like I woke up and I'm going to have a cup of coffee and before my actual day starts, I'm gonna play like an hour and a half of that or something.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. Speaking of games that are definitely in more bite-sized chunks, I'm still playing Tetris.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still playing the absolute just crap out of Tetris 99. I'm really, really liking that game. I downloaded an open source Tetris trainer on my computer. I'm going just down the rabbit hole.
Is this your full-time job now?
Oh
is
yeah,
this...
absolutely. I So the other day, I went on lunch and just like taking a nice little break from work and just stopped into like a coffee shop, got something to drink, pulled out my Switch and won my first game.
Nice.
Which is great. It was the first one I ever got, and I was feeling really, really, really damn good about it.
Dude, that is sweet, sweet victory.
Oh, like, yeah.
Oh my gosh. When I played with Colin and another one of our friends, the other guy was playing a character he hadn't really played before, so it was the first one I played. So
for Apex, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's playing Pathfinder with the ziplines, right? So he's like, I don't really know where to throw this stuff, but if you see a good spot, let me know. I was like, okay, so here's what we're going to do. Because like I know that if we go into a fight, we're probably not coming out of it. So let's skirt the ring, let's skirt the circle, and just pick up everybody's leftovers, and we'll do this, that. And you know, without fighting, we got a bunch of good loot. So we were ready for a fight when we got to it. Well, at the end, it was this awesome confrontation where a ton of squads all converged on the same area, and I did my favorite thing in that whole game. I hid behind cover, and I just threw a grenade where I knew one of the teams was. So then everyone looked there, and then they all started fighting.
Nice.
And we just hung back while we saw that number go down.
That's good.
It feels so good doing that.
That's pretty filthy. Gotcha. But like real good.
But yeah, we found a good position in that round, and there was a moment. There were maybe two other squads left, but it was right at the end. And Colin and I both had this moment where we realized we're like, oh, we're going to win this. Like, we totally have the best position right now. Like, we're winning this
game. And that I think is something that is I'm starting to see, because I've only ever played like three Battle Royale games. And like one is Apex, one is Fortnite, and the other one is Tetris. But
it just feels so good.
There is definitely a certain point where you're just like, oh, yeah, I fucking got this. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, this is totally just happening. And that kind of like clicked for me once I hit like fourth place. Because I was, like, looking around on the other boards, because you can, like, kind of see, like, tiny versions of the other boards. And, like, they weren't, like, super built up. They were kind of, like, maybe a third of the way up. Like, you can tell they were, like, good Tetris players. Obviously, they were top five, you know. Mm-hmm. But I saw, like, how many badges they had. And I had, like, I think the most you could get. And they all had, like, one or two. And I was like, oh. This is cakewalk. And then sure enough, like less than a minute later, like they just all went down. And I was like, started like taking pictures of my Switch. Like,
yeah,
an idiot.
Baby.
That was super, super satisfying.
When you get to the end there, do the boxes, you know, at the beginning, there are 99 other boxes where the other players, you can see their screens. Do those get any bigger as people get knocked out?
No, and I really wish it did. I think if I had to change one thing about the game, it would be like, actually like kind of like draft, like, sorry, words are hard. I would make it like over time, just kind of make it like slowly bigger, or as like as boards get knocked out, like kind of just like kick those
dissolve
off,
them
yeah,
away,
right,
or something.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then just kind of fill that space with the other boards, but like very gradually.
I
think that would be really neat. That would also really make it a lot easier for me to keep track of whether or not, like, basically keep track of like how I'm doing and related to the other players, because like, sure, like playing good Tetris matters, but you also really need to, it's weird thinking about Tetris tactically, and I keep telling people that, but you totally do have to approach it. It's just like, all right, cool, I'm in this spot, and you have to basically, like, in, I had a moment where I basically like threw the grenade where I knew the other team was, where like I saw this person that had a lot of badges, and so I just started targeting them and sending stuff over there. Well, I'm pretty sure the other players, obviously there's no communication, but I'm pretty sure the other players saw me just sending lines over there, so they all ganged up on him too, but I got the kill, so I got the badges, and then I just took them out and won.
That's great. The badges don't mean anything but bragging rights, right?
No, the badges, so you get badges for kills, and as you get more badges, if you KO somebody, you take their badges.
See, at the end, you're guaranteed to have like 98 badges, right?
I think so. I think it's, I'm not exactly sure like how the numbering system works. Basically, like each quote badge point you get builds like a little like tiny gold bar onto a little chevron. And then like if you have like four of the gold, like full gold chevrons, you're just like,
you drop a tactical nuke.
Basically, yeah. So yeah, it's your 25 kill streak.
Right.
But no, you essentially lost my train of thought. You essentially just, so every badge you get basically increases how many lines you're sending over per line that you clear. Mm-hmm. So, like, for instance, I don't know what the exact math is, so I'm just kind of, like, spitballing it here. But if you have a full, like, chevron of badge, then if you send a Tetris, which is normally four lines, without badges, you're going to basically send just four lines over to whoever you're targeting. Mm-hmm. But if you have those badges built up, then you are sending maybe 5 or 6 lines.
Oh.
So it really is like the technique that I took.
So it's not just a 1-to-1 ratio. Yeah. So having a lead actually.
You're rewarded for playing incredibly aggressively, which I did not really realize. I was playing like hyper defensively because you can just target people who are attacking you because like it got to the point where like 12 people were attacking me at once and it felt really nice to send like 2 or 3 lines to 12 people.
Yeah.
But you're not focusing anyone down and making sure you get those badges. So I've been trying to like starting to just go for the kills because you can target people who are just kind of like quote near to death and then just like try to get as many badges as possible. Then once you build up a little bit, then start targeting people with badges, bring those down to really just kind of overload yourself. And then basically at that point, it's just stay alive.
That's cool.
Which can turn into luck, you know, it depends on like who you're getting paired with and all of that stuff. But also at some point, like it becomes incredibly fast Tetris that you just have to get used to playing. And
right.
There is not a single game where if I am in the top 10, my heart is not just absolutely pounding.
Yeah.
It's a really good game. I cannot believe that I'm getting this much enjoyment out of a free Tetris game. But I mean, Tetris is, at least in my opinion, probably the greatest game ever made. So I kind of get it. But yeah, that's still what I've been playing. But yeah, like you, other than that, I haven't really had a whole lot of time to play other games, you know?
Well, you know, I'm thinking about it. So at Strictly Casual this past week, because of Tetris, I wanted to show Tetris 99 and Tricky Towers, which is reverse Tetris with physics. You're trying to build a tower upward instead of making blocks disappear. So that was cool because I have been trying to show people that game for like 2 or 3 years. I don't remember when it came out, but I mean, I've had it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like it, but it's one of those things where you know, people either are familiar with Tetris or they're not, which is crazy to me. But
yeah, that is kind of weird. I feel like that's just like a culturally known thing.
Yeah, and it's never people younger than me that don't know about it. I mean, I'm sure there are, but
right.
It's people who are my age or older, and they're like, "Yeah, I've never played Tetris." And I'm like, "I don't even know who you are."
Yeah, like like what?
How if you never once played it?
I feel like people call things a Nintendo, a Game Boy, and a Tetris. I guess now it's probably a Fortnite, but.
Yep. You know. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I broke that game out, and it was nice because the people we've got, you know, the like foundation of our event, the regular crew we got, everybody's really open to new games. So when I ask somebody, I'm just like, hey, this game will be good. You'll like it. Can you play with me? And I'm like, okay. And they do, and they're like, all right, one more round, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's fun because I got to play for real, and, you know, I lost a bunch, but it's nice being able to play for real and not have to be, you know, teach somebody how to play or hold back because I want them to have a good time. So we played some real games, and that was really fun. We played that pretty much the whole night. In fact, I didn't even get Tetris 99 going because we're so focused on that.
Nice.
But what I did was I downloaded Tetris 99 and went to play it, and it was like, yo, you obviously need a Nintendo Online account. And I was like, oh, right. One of the guys there, he was like, oh, yeah, I got room on my family account. Just send me your email. And I was just like, okay.
Yeah, that's what I did. Because it ends up being like less than $5 a year per person for that thing, which is absolutely nuts. Like, you could have let me know. Like, I still have an open spot on mine too.
Well,
so but
Light you know, was right next to me. Whatever. So I was like,
yeah, that's
do,
fair.
Know?
I wasn't there, so I get it.
Well, you
cool.
know,
I'm not important to you. That's fine. Whatever.
Hey, you're worse than mine. So that was a great time, and I'll probably bring that out again this next week. But I really just love having an opportunity to play these indie games, especially these couch co-op ones. You know, because Tricky Towers, like I think everybody there had heard about it at some point, but had never played it, or had, you know, had heard more or less good things about it.
And it was free on PlayStation Plus for a little while.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Like, there's a lot of people, like myself included, who just, like, every month, like, that first Tuesday of the month, it's like, all right, just hop on my web browser, download everything.
Yeah, I need to do that. I think I've missed at least a couple months.
Yeah. I think I've done that, too, but they're all, like, PS3 games that I think I've probably already played.
Yeah, unless someone else shares it. Like, I'd forget to even look it up. So unless I catch an article by, you know, PlayStation or Sony, I just forget about it. And then I'm like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Especially when they rotate out halfway through the month. I'm just like, oh, man,
right.
I wanted that one. Now I have to pay.
I still have most of my backlog right now that I need to just sit down and play is pretty much just like PlayStation games or PlayStation Plus games. Excuse me.
Yeah. There was a minute where I wanted to actually try out Forsaken Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And when I realized I thought I had downloaded it when it was free, because why wouldn't I?
Mm-hmm.
No, I did not. Ooh. So I was like, oh, yeah. I'm definitely not paying $35 for any of this. Like, I wanted to touch this for a second.
Right.
I am not committing, you know, so.
I had kind of a similar thing, because I bought Base Destiny 2 whenever it launched, and I bought, like, the season pass and all that stuff, which kind of regret, but that's besides the point.
Yeah.
But I wanted to check out Forsaken because a lot of my friends who are really into Destiny really are into Forsaken, and it seems really, really cool. I like hearing about all these cool changes that they've made. I like what they've done with the world, all that kind of cool stuff. Mm-hmm. But I went to go check it out, and I was like, okay, well, Forsaken's on sale. But then they rolled out the annual pass. I'm like, I'm not going to pay $100 to get back into Destiny, so I guess I'm just not going to play Destiny anymore.
Yeah, that's like a back-end problem with DLC is segmenting mm-hmm. the crowd where it's like, oh, are you super committed? No? Well, sorry. And mm-hmm. So for somebody like me who just missed the sale, yeah, it was free, so I should have jumped on it.
I'd like to see them do kind of like what they do with World of Warcraft is, well, even though they're like separate from Activision Blizzard now, but mm-hmm. I'd like to see them maybe do like a, hey, just buy the yearly pass and of like the new content and
you get
everything
all the stuff
else previously is also free. I think that would be a really good way to get people in. Cause I would definitely
always felt weird having to buy both of those.
Agreed.
Like buy
yeah. That's kind of my main hang up. Cause like, I don't want to have to buy Destiny Forsaken and then turn around and immediately spend another $60 for an additional
right.
year of content.
Yeah.
Like, I would totally pay for the year of content to jump back in.
Right.
But I'm not going to pay $100 to do it.
$100 is too much.
Yeah.
And
that's what I saw that it was like a couple of weeks ago. I don't remember when this happened. But I definitely like the idea of I can see myself playing more Destiny, but mm-hmm. definitely not for that price. But that's kind of been it. I haven't really played a whole lot like you have.
That's because I mixed work and play. So I finally made some time to play something.
Right. I would like to see if anybody would play Earth Defense Force at this like weekly
you should
gaming
bring
thing.
That.
I have it on my PS4.
I
those
played
games
that with
are
my,
dumb as hell, and I love every second of them.
Played that with the Call of Duty mate, and it was just like a fun dumb.
They're really good, really bad games.
Yeah,
I absolutely love them. The fact that you know that they know that they kind of suck.
Yeah,
but they just really lean into that really appeals to me. Like the fact that there's like 4 or 5 verses to a song that you can sing with all of your soldiers that is literally just different words for the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Have you heard that?
No,
it's incredible. I will show it to you. I am committing to bringing to this
send
on
links.
Wednesday.
Yeah,
I will absolutely do this. So. Cool.
Oh, the other thing, because we had Smash going this weekend, I'm not really into playing fighting games, even though they're fun to watch, especially like watching Tekken. Mm-hmm. But
Tekken's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, man, because you don't have to know anything about the game to see when there's a hype moment.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I watch Evo Top 8 every year, even though I am not a hardcore fighting mm-hmm. fan. I am a super casual fighting game fan, and I was like jumping out of my fucking chair at like the Tekken 7 Evo Top 8 last mm-hmm. year. It was fucking awesome.
Yeah. I watched, I never watched a major before. Mm-hmm. Not Evo, not nothing. And I watched the Capcom Cup.
Yeah.
It was, I don't know, 4 months ago maybe? Something like that. Man, that's fun. Like, I really do like watching. Like, it's the same reason I like watching football, like, very casually. Mm-hmm. Do not follow the sport seriously at all. Like, I most of the time don't even know most of the players on our own team. Mm-hmm. Like, I couldn't tell you anything about them. But I like the game.
Yeah.
And what I like, you know, because how many times have I heard, like, oh, you mean you watch other people play video games? It's like, I understand that, like, that's a fair question mm-hmm. to somebody who has not been exposed to this stuff.
Right.
But you just throw back at them, you're like, well, you know, it's like, well, why don't you just play, right? Why would you watch instead of just playing? It's like, well, why do you watch football when you can just go play it, right? You know, number one, even if you like football, like, you're not going to be as good as these people.
Absolutely.
You know, and like, second of all, you might not even play. The point is that you want to watch the best people be the best at their craft.
Absolutely.
Right?
My mom actually, back, I think ESPN was doing this hilarious thing where for a day, ESPN2 became ESPN8, the Ocho, like
right.
Dodgeball, which I thought was hilarious. And yeah. one of the things they were showing was, I don't remember if it was Evo, it might have been Evo, but it was one of the top eights from mm-hmm. Evo of Street Fighter V. And she watched it and just like sent me a text and says, I take back everything I said to you in high school. This fucking rules. I'm like, yes, it does, mom.
That's cool.
Yes, it does.
You know, my mom came in one time to our old fight nights, what our Wednesday event used to be before it split into the casual stuff and mm-hmm. the dojo, which is fighting games. My girlfriend and my mom both came out one day. It was fun. My mom surprised me. She just showed up. Mm-hmm. Well, we watched that, especially Tekken. I think that night was only Tekken. Which, like I said, is the easiest one to watch. It's
totally.
The most accessible.
Totally.
And unlike Dragon Ball Z, it doesn't take ages when you have good people playing. Mm-hmm. Which, like, Dragon Ball Z is all right to watch, but gee-many Christmas. Like,
Those matches can take a while. Dude, these people are very good. Yeah,
We had at least one match.
It's representative of the show or something.
Yeah, right. It just keeps going.
Yeah.
We had at least one match run the timer out, and the timer.
Yeah,
was like
I saw somebody posted on Twitter. I think the CrossUp account retweeted saying, "Yeah, I just timed out at a tournament." I'm like, "Wow,
yeah,
oh man,
it's crazy." Anyway, we watched those, and it was a good time. But then on Sunday, I actually jumped into the Smash Ultimate Singles Tournament, the one-on-one. Mm-hmm. Of course, I knew that I wasn't going to get anywhere. I had lost both of my games. But I did do better in at least my first game against our friend Rayshawn, who runs the stream, RTY. I played against him, and honestly, it made me realize, I do like Smash. Mm-hmm. I just, for so long, didn't have anybody that I wanted to play with, because the only people I would play with were my friends who were very good, mm-hmm. and they would never lay off. Like, they would never give you a win on purpose.
Yeah.
So it's just like, oh, well, I'm just going to lose here. I set the game down for a long time. I never even played Smash 4. But I jumped in this time. I really like playing Inkling. And my issue is, I kept wanting to use these bombs that you throw out. And I kept throwing them the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And I did it so many times. I did it over and over and over. And I was like, okay, this time I'm pretty sure I'm facing the right. Oh, crap. So I saw that and I'm like, okay, I do actually want to fix this because I like this character. Mm-hmm. I do like the fighting in this game. I really like the pacing of it. I used to always just play with items only, right? I would never play without items, pretty much. Sometimes in Melee, we'd play Final Destination with no items. But it was a good time, and I think I actually want to spend some time getting good at that.
Yeah, I've actually had a similar thing happen. So Sunday, which is yesterday as of this recording.
It's been a long yeah. few days.
Pretty late last night, a guy I follow on Twitch, he was just doing a community, hey, let's just do a Smash Bros. Tournament. And I'm like, yeah, all right, I'll throw my hat in the ring. Mm-hmm. Why not? You know, it was fun. And I ended up, winning my first match. It was, a super casual thing, but... It was super fun, and I went back. I found myself going back and rewatching the stream. It's like, oh, here's where I messed up, you know, and then I realized, oh, this is how it starts, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm about to take this seriously. And I did see a really good tweet right after I played those matches from Freddie Wong. I don't know if you're familiar. He's a YouTuber, video editor, super great guy. He tweeted, "Needing to be decent at Super Smash Bros. Is my generation's equivalent of needing to be decent at golf or bowling." And I have never related to something so hard. But yeah, every time I guess I have been playing Super Smash Bros. Also, but every time I kind of feel like I'm pulling myself away from, okay, well, I'm going to play other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I might play maybe 5 or 10 quick play matches online though.
Yeah.
It's good.
Just do 1 or 5
right.
or 10.
It's great. I feel like it's only a matter of time before I just I'll enter this tournament. Why not?
Yeah,
I'm gonna
yeah.
lose, but sure, you know. So video games are pretty cool.
They are pretty cool.
Tell you what, let's go ahead and we'll take a break right now. We'll come back and talk about the ton of news that happened last week.
Sweet.
Alright, sounds great.
Hey everyone, this is Greg from Red Shirts and Runabouts. We're the resident Star Trek podcast as part of the Heroes Podcast Network group. If you love Star Trek and things science fiction, we're definitely the show for you. Join us every Thursday as we talk about Star Trek Discovery, the new Picard show, and other ongoing content and new creations from the Star Trek universe. If you want to find us, search Red Shirts and Runabouts podcast on Apple and Google Play, and if you want to interact with us as a host, you can find us at Red Shirts Pod on Twitter.
Hey, welcome back. I'm going to get into a little bit of news here, but a little bit before that, you wanted to talk about Anthem and kind of our thoughts on that a little bit. We actually haven't played that ourselves. I know we're kind of reaching out to a couple of people that mm-hmm. have actually spent some time with it to kind of get them to come on and share their thoughts. I might pick it up just so we can at least kind of talk and discuss it a little bit. But what were you thinking about that?
Actually, I'd kind of like somebody to bring it to Strictly Casual so we can demo it.
That'd be nice.
I have no plans of buying it, but I don't want to deep dive into it with only, secondhand knowledge.
Right.
The things I've seen, it's just a really big, pretty AAA game. And EA has really sunk a lot of, money and time into this. And I'm just not sold. Everything I've heard, it sounds like it's kind of like Destiny. My least favorite thing I keep hearing is that it's really easy to miss critical information. Like, you've really got to ring that game out to get all the stuff. Yeah, where an explanation of what this thing is, or what this enemy is, or why blah blah blah. You have to go talk to all these side characters, and if you miss even one, you might miss this critical information. But thing is, like, some of them have new things to say after you go on missions. So, like, one of the people I listened to just went and talked to every side NPC every single time, which was just a lot of effort. Mm-hmm. And, that just reminds me of Destiny, where it's like, okay, all this stuff is there, but you have to unlock it first and then read the codex online. It's like, man, why can't this just be easier? Like, if you're proud of your lore, offer it up so it's easy to find, and then if you want to find some like bonus stuff, like maybe some concept art or like stuff like that, that's really supplemental information or content,
or even something that just kind of like adds like cool little flavors to like the already existing lore,
I mean, there's just a ton of ways to do that, but I just keep getting the vibe I got from Destiny, where stuff just, it seemed like I had always missed something, but it always kind of felt like it was my fault, so I never felt good about it. Because I was like, did I just miss a dialogue tree or something? You know, was I not paying attention did I walk away from a robot who's talking or something? Mm-hmm. And I just missed why I'm doing any of this. I remember in Destiny that I was like way into these missions in OG, in vanilla Destiny, where I was like, I still have no idea why I am here. Like, I know this, Rasputin, maybe it's him.
You're talking about the first Destiny?
Yeah.
Okay. That was whenever they had like all their lore behind like those, like, was it the Grimoire cards that were on the website? That was interesting
weird
choice.
Yeah, and I just felt I did all those missions and I was like, I have no idea why I'm doing this, and I care about that stuff, so to rely on everything else in the game that I'm not that hot on. I like the PvP a lot, actually. Where I felt like a lot of people I talked to were totally lukewarm about that, but loved the strikes and all that stuff. And for me, I just wish, well, whatever. I had just some issues with how that stuff was laid out. But here I am with Anthem, and it just seems like it is so much like Destiny, where it's like, okay, well, this might be pretty good later. Like, I definitely have friends who enjoy it, who have put 10 hours into it and recommend it. But everything I've watched, I kind of know what I like, and it looks like Destiny to me, and I'm just not ready to pull that trigger.
Mm-hmm. So for me, actually, just from seeing like the coverage on that I have, I might end up actually just kind of picking this up, just kind of giving it a spin, just seeing kind of where I fall on it. I probably should, if anything, so we can maybe have some a little bit more concrete things to say about it next week for sure. But I understand why people are kind of getting that Destiny vibe, but I actually don't get as much of that from what I am seeing as I thought I did. I'm kind of hesitant to say that it is like a this or it is a this. It just kind of,
it's more of a that,
It kind of looks to me like it's its own thing, but I don't know if, from what I'm just kind of getting from a lot of people, and obviously I'll probably have more to share on this next week, but I'm just kind of getting the vibe that it seems fine.
Yeah.
And I think that's okay. Like, I think there's absolutely a place for games that are not like, not every game has to be this like critical darling and this absolute masterpiece,
It's a whale. It's not like your crazy small indie or even just like a low scale thing that's just a passion project or just, blows it out of the park.
Right, for sure.
It's a AAA that's there to, just like any project, it's a whale where like that's the one that gets the company by, like that's the bread and butter, the flagship kind of stuff.
I think there are definitely some things about Anthem that look really cool. I absolutely love like how that game looks. I think the visual design looks absolutely fucking phenomenal. The javelins, I see a bunch of people that I follow on Twitter just posting like, here's this cool thing I did with my javelin. I'm like, oh, I kind of really want to do that. And then I see like people like flying around, and the flying looks really cool. I know there's some weird like mechanics that like keep you from doing that whole lot. The shooting doesn't look like it feels that great, but maybe I was just watching some I don't know if that was something that
honestly
didn't really...
That's the thing that gets me the most is when I watch the gunplay. It's one of the same reasons I had trouble with Borderlands sometimes, and then had trouble with Destiny. Is sometimes when you shoot somebody with just something huge, or you know, you hit them in the head or something, and they don't react to it at all. I mean, they act like you didn't do anything. Like, yeah, their health bar goes down, but you shoot them, and there's just not oomph to it. That's like, whoa, I just shot this person, and they're just running at me. You know, like a robot.
Yeah. I feel like, I going back to kind of like that Borderlands comparison, I guess if I had to pick something, it kind of feels like Anthem feels like more of a realistic looking Borderlands from what I'm seeing. Just in like, I don't know. I'm probably just kind of rambling and my thoughts are all over the place right now, because obviously I haven't just like sat down with this game, you know, but I definitely am interested in doing that just to at least kind of see what's going on. I think they said, did they say whether or not like the content updates are going to be free after that? I don't remember.
I don't remember.
I think they did. I'll look that up. I'll look that up here real quick, because I don't want to come across as a liar.
But yeah.
No, Anthem looks kind of just fine to me. I don't really have any sort of like, oh, this looks bad, so I'm not going to play it, or oh, this looks like the single greatest video game ever
made. Yeah, I definitely don't have like a strong opinion on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just am not willing to pay money to try it out when I'm perfectly happy with Apex.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested in it. I know that it, well, according to these websites, it's not selling very well. Eurogamer, 16 hours ago, as of right now, is that Anthem's physical sales are half of the Mass Effect Andromeda sales.
Oh, man. Which is... That's not very good.
Yikes.
Well, I hope they keep with it. I hope they don't just drop it like it's hot like they did with Andromeda, because that was a real bummer.
Yeah, yeah, that kind of was, but I mean... Okay, so it says here story DLC will be free for Anthem. So
cool.
That's kind of appealing, you know. I like that a whole lot, but yeah.
I really hope they're responsive to feedback. So, like, for example, I remember one thing I wanted in Destiny, I know I keep bringing it up, was I really liked going around on the Sparrows, right? And I kept thinking, like, man, I really just hope they add racing to this sometime. And eventually they did, but by that time I had mostly fallen off the game. And then also the other thing that I had from the very get-go was I want to do something with my ship. Right, you've got your ship that you see all the time in the loading screen, at least in Destiny 1, and I always wanted to be like, man, like, let me go shoot some stuff, like, let me do some Star Fox space stuff, and I never got to do that. So you know, people seem to really like flying around with the javelins, being Iron Man.
That seems to be the thing that I've kind of heard from most people. That's like their big takeaway, is the flying just feels really, really good. It's just a kind of a shame that you don't get to do enough of it, you know?
Yeah, so I hope they are really responsive to feedback like that, because clearly that's something that pretty much unanimously people seem to like. I really hope they spend time keeping that good, because, you know, if that's something that happens between missions, you know, you're always going to get a little dose of that here and there. So it's just a nice palate cleanser, especially if it's actually fun. It's not just functional.
Yeah, I think for me, Destiny, excuse me, Anthem. Wow, I'm doing it too. Anthem to me, especially with them doing the like free story DLC in the future. So the way that I played Destiny 2 is I binged the absolute crap out of that game. Just played an absolute ton of it, did as much as I could over like a weekend or like a couple weekends, you know. And then I just kind of quit playing it. And then more content would come out, and then I would just hop back in. And that seems like something that I could definitely get out of Anthem. I really hope going forward they kind of address the changes. I do think that like the premise of Anthem does show promise, but obviously I'm not gonna try to sound like too critical or down or even really up or anything on this game, just because I have not gotten my hands on it, and I do intend to kind of check it out. But it's on my radar. It's never been on my radar in a big way, but it's definitely on my radar.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll see. We'll get somebody on who's actually played it.
Yeah,
And we'll see. Because I wonder if changes do come to that game. I wonder if they'll be speedy or not. It's one of those things where EA's just, like I said, sunk so many materials into it, just so much effort, that they're gonna have to make a decision. Especially if the sales aren't being that great.
Absolutely.
You know, do we stick with this, fix it, and really make this thing pop, or do we, you know, throw some money at it for a little bit and then decide, maybe this isn't the immediate success we wanted.
Yeah, and I'm interested to know if, because I know EA has the kind of bad reputation of game did not sell.
Close the studio.
Yeah, exactly. And I know that they've like kind of soft sort of announced a new Dragon Age game. And I'm really interested to see like how that kind of plays into, like, just kind of how Anthem does commercially. But
yeah,
obviously it's been out for like a week. So,
yep, so we'll see.
We don't know for sure. That right now it doesn't seem like a great sign, but I'm definitely interested in checking it out for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to other news, probably the biggest one that I saw this week is Reggie.
The Reginator.
The Reginator, from current president, soon to be former president of Nintendo of America, is retiring. That came out of nowhere for me.
Mm-hmm.
He did a really, really, really good, just kind of like almost a farewell address.
Yeah, that video on was Twitter. Really good.
That video made me tear up a lot. Yeah. I got like weirdly emotional, and I never like seriously followed Nintendo until a few years ago. But that man's like just how goofy he is, and like his just radiant personality, how much you can tell he absolutely genuinely cares about not just the games that his company makes, but the people who make and play them. I think that comes across incredibly well.
Yeah.
And he's being replaced by the current senior VP of sales and marketing, Doug Bowser.
Yeah, I thought that was a joke when I saw it.
I did too. And then I realized, oh no, they actually did bring on someone named Doug Bowser.
The only Bowser I've ever heard of besides
Bowser himself. Right, right. So I'm interested to see what he does. I know he came out and said that Mr. Bowser came out and said that he's been being mentored by Reggie for a while now, and he's going to help him like with ease of transition. I guess Reggie's officially like kind of stepping down and leaving the company in April of this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of took a look around to see, like, I looked up Doug's Twitter account because I kind of wanted to get an idea of who this guy was. I wasn't really super familiar with him. I knew that there was a Doug Bowser that worked at Nintendo, but I didn't like kind of realize, you know, how like big he was.
He's been really moving up in the castle, you
know? Right, right. Well, I think he was a former executive from someone else, but his username on Twitter is @thetruebowser, which is incredible.
Yeah.
And he says he is the head of sales and marketing at Nintendo America. That's obviously going to change soon. Mm-hmm. Original Donkey Kong arcade master. Views are mine, parentheses, as are the Goombas, Koopa Troopa, etc. The dude clearly has, I think, the right kind of sense of humor with that.
Yeah.
You just know there's going to be some really good Nintendo Directs where they really lean into the fact that his last name is Bowser.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely. Sure, I cannot wait for that.
Yeah, you know, I was reading a couple articles about Reggie, you know, and just stuff he's been known for in Nintendo. You know, of course, he got the My Body Is Ready meme for when the Wii came out. But, you know, he's always just been a goofy, fun guy. Like, he's put so much charisma into the stuff he does. He's fun. He's just entertaining to watch in interviews, but you know that he's the real deal.
Absolutely.
You know? You never feel like he's selling something to
Every single person that I have like read or like listened to that they've like met or interacted with Reggie, he's just the same guy. And I'm like, all right, that's awesome.
Yeah. It's really nice when someone who like, and honestly the figureheads across, you know, Phil Spencer, even like Todd Howard's, you know, the Todd Howard's of the industry. It's nice when you can tell, like when you see enough consistency with these people,
right?
You know, when it's their job to sell their platform, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to hype it up, it's nice that you see consistency, especially like at the Game Awards. We saw Reggie, Phil Spencer, and the CEO of Sony, who I cannot remember the name of.
I don't think it was the CEO, but it was Sean Layden.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which both of them actually like tweeted at Reggie, like talking about how like much he meant to the industry and everything, and I started crying again.
That stuff's great. Like it seems like there's more solidarity across
absolutely
the entire industry. You know, maybe I'm reaching here, but you know, as we've seen the rise of, you know, toxicity in gaming and stuff, we've seen that the pushback of companies really going out of their way to actively have a positive influence on their company, on their culture, and all that stuff. And you know, having people like Reggie up at the front who just feel, you know, it's like watching a baseball player. Whenever I see baseball players like get, you know, dumping the Gatorade at the end of the game, it always seems like they're just little kids trapped in a big adult's body. You know, they never really lost that silliness. And watching people like Reggie, it feels that same way, and it's just so endearing. It's really hard not to like a guy like him.
I remember I want to do a direct quote. Well, let me pull it up real quick, but like whenever they like first brought Reggie on board, it was, I think, his first big like quote reveal as a president of Nintendo of America was it was one of the E3 conferences. I think it was 2004. One sec here. So I thought it was just like super rad whenever they just like brought him out. I think he said, oh yes, here, let me pull it up real quick. I think he said, sorry, I know this is really, really, really great radio content. Here it is.
Hey, that's what editing's for.
He opened up, Reggie walked out, was introduced by, I believe, Satoru Iwata. And in 2004, for E3, he said, quote, "My name is Reggie. I'm about kicking ass. I'm about taking names. And we're about making games." And I'm good. Like, yeah, fuck yeah. I love you, dude. Hell yes. And like, even looking at like some of those really just absolutely terrible E3 conferences they had where they were like really trying to push the Wii down everybody's throats. Mm-hmm. And like, they
like, almost just,
yeah, basically.
Like, take this done, Chuck.
Like, I'm talking about like the ones where they were just like, hey, Wii Music looks good. Wii Music was not good.
Yeah.
But like, you could absolutely tell just by watching like footage of that stuff. He is just a dude out there having fun. And yeah. You can tell that it doesn't matter that it doesn't work. There's still just like this little like hint of magic in his eyes.
Yeah.
It's just super infectious. Yeah, I'm really excited to see what President Bowser brings to the company and kind of what that means. I know there's been kind of talk of like a lot of the Nintendo of Japan people kind of looking towards him even for leadership as like, hey, this is kind of where we should go. And like, mm-hmm. kind of like, it seems like Nintendo overall is in a really healthy place right now. And I think him leaving while things are really good is really cool, especially since he like stuck around during the Wii U,
mm-hmm.
which yeah. was not good. It's also really interesting to see a big name person leave some games industry job either by choice or like not in a scandal.
Right.
Like, he's just leaving because he just wants to spend time with his family and play games. And I think mm-hmm. that's really cool and a total Reggie move.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, he said, it's funny to hear this from someone who's so visually recognizable, you know, just a figurehead like him to say, you know, I'll never forget my time at Nintendo. And it's like, yeah, how could you ever forget your time at Nintendo? So it's funny, and I don't even, but just to hear that, it's just like, imagining a world in mm-hmm. which Reggie's like, he's like filling out a resume. He's like, where have I worked?
Right.
Where did, what was that place? Was that, oh yeah, that's right, Nintendo.
Yeah.
Bowser kicked me out.
He did. One of my favorite things that I did see was whenever they brought Doug Bowser on board for like just to be a VP of sales and marketing and all that.
You got to call him by his real name. It's D-Bow.
Oh, D-Bow. Yeah. I hate that. whenever
he probably does too. So
he probably does. You're right. He like his like big like, hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome or like thanks for having me. All that stuff. They posted a picture on their social media feeds, and it's him just saying, hey, everybody, I'm Doug Bowser. And then on the bookshelf in the back corner is a Mario and Luigi plush just wrapped up in a GameCube controller, just sitting there ominously. I'm like, yeah, this guy's going to be all right.
That's good.
He's going to be all right.
I like that.
So, yeah, I'm really excited to see kind of where that goes. And I know there's like this really, like you were mentioning earlier, there's absolutely a big kind of trend lately of kind of the big three all playing nice with each other. Obviously, Microsoft and Nintendo way more, but it's really neat to see that, because we're like really in kind of the grand scheme of things, like we are not that far removed from Sega does what Nintendo don't, you know.
Yeah, right.
Like people are like, it's, they're promoting like this positivity and like trying to bring up this medium, which is super respectable, but they're still like putting out their own stuff and doing it in a really cool way, and mm-hmm. you can tell that those like they're like building friendships with other companies along the way, which is really awesome.
Yeah.
But jumping ahead on my show notes that I have here, speaking of Nintendo and Microsoft playing really well together, there was a lot of stuff coming out about that this past week.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
So there has been a lot of talk lately about, obviously, like Microsoft has been pretty vocal about them wanting to bring the Xbox Live platform in some form to a bunch of different other like physical platforms, including the Nintendo Switch, mm-hmm. which whenever I first saw that, I was like, okay, you know, it's just going to be very similar to what Minecraft is now, like where you have to sign in to your Xbox Live account, your mm-hmm. Switch, which is really weird to hear the Xbox achievement noise on a Nintendo platform.
Yeah,
that kind of still has not gotten old yet.
Oh, you've heard that?
Oh, yeah. You get one for firing it up, I think.
Oh, I guess I didn't realize it was already out.
Yeah.
I thought this was, like, in the pipeline.
It's been out for a few months. Like,
my gosh.
My girlfriend and I have played an absolute ton of it, and her and, like, one of her friends play it all the time.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's pretty
great.
You
don't... So, Minecraft you're talking about, right?
Yeah, like,
so
like Minecraft.
So, you sign into an Xbox account.
You have to sign into
like a Mojang
an
account?
Xbox Live account, because that is a Microsoft-owned game.
Gotcha.
They're just being smart with it and putting it on literally anything that can run it.
Right.
It's basically the new Doom.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, what I had spoken to Tommy and Lang about, who we'll have on the show hopefully next week, was, you know, when I saw the Switch, when they were just starting to roll out their third-party games, like for realsies, you know, where the Wii U had no third-party stuff at all, this one was rolling stuff out. Of course, I had Skyrim, but I'm like, okay. But Doom was out there, and I was like, okay, well, I haven't bought Doom. I want to play Doom. And this gives me a reason to pick this up because I would specifically, like, based on the way, like, my schedule and the way I like to drop in and out of games, you know, the Switch makes any game a drop-in, drop-out game.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, because you don't have to go home, be in front of your TV, power everything up, load your save and stuff. Like, you hit that power button on the Switch and, it, you know, the screen goes black. And whenever you boot it back up, you're right back in it. So, you know, to see a game like Doom have the full fidelity that I would find on my PlayStation.
Right.
I'm like, well, shoot, there's no reason for me to buy it on my PlayStation. So seeing more of that, because that was on the early curve of the third-party wave that we've seen.
Yeah,
you know, that just keeps coming out stronger and stronger. So with Xbox Live really pushing to be on the Switch, that brings even more opportunity for more games. I mean, imagine if they released, I mean, I bet they will do this, but they're like subscription service, kind of like the virtual eShop that Nintendo
has. So let me jump ahead a little further again.
All right.
So there had been like talks about, I don't know if this was like ever explicitly confirmed or anything, but I think this is probably going to be shown off a little bit more at GDC because they definitely said like, hey, we're doing a talk. We want to talk to people about that stuff. There's a lot of talk about using that kind of like xCloud infrastructure that Microsoft has, which is, I imagine if they use it for something like games, it'll be similar to like a PlayStation Now or like any other game streaming service that you have, where it's basically streaming the game, like streaming like the gameplay and like the video and everything to your device, and like all of the other processing and everything is handled server side.
Yeah,
which means it's absolutely great. I don't know if you've ever messed around with like PlayStation Now or anything like that.
No, but when they first rolled that out for, I think it was one of the Assassin's Creed games.
Yes,
where you could play everything streamed from online. You had to have a connection,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah,
but
it was to your Chrome browser, the Google thing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I got into that. It was absolutely rad. It worked really well. But yeah, like you can, like if you can stream it to a Chrome browser, like you can, like you can stream different games to like their, I think their plan with that was sort of to like, hey, let's play Halo on your phone. Just go for it. You have to be, you have to have a good internet connection, obviously. But there was like kind of talk about like bringing something like that to the Switch. I don't know if that was ever explicitly confirmed. And a lot of the stuff that I'm talking about right now is very heavily rumored and a lot of speculation. So take all of this with a grain of salt, just a massive giant boulder of salt. But so they actually, a few rumors have come out this past week. I think the same day Reggie stepped down, or announced he was stepping down rather, that there were plans to bring the Game Pass to Switch, which would be rad. And I imagine if they were to do something like that, then you could, like, if they had that, like, built-in xCloud infrastructure, because obviously you're not going to be able to run Crackdown 3 on a Switch.
Right.
That is just, like, way too powerful. There's just way too much going on. You're basically just going to, your Switch is just literally going to explode. So with that, you have to have,
that
like
said, I still have been surprised that stuff like Doom has run no problem.
Same.
I mean, it eats up my battery, but
same. And, like, the studios porting that stuff are doing absolutely phenomenal work.
Yeah.
But I think that would be really cool. But in addition to that, there was also talk about, like, physically, like actually like porting or bringing a few of the bringing a few of the like Xbox Studios like second party published titles to the Switch as well. And this would be kind of direct ports. And the two that were named in a bunch of leaks that I've seen from a few places were Ori and the Blind Forest.
Sweet.
Which would be,
I would really
incredible.
Like to play that game.
I would absolutely love to check that out. And Cuphead.
Okay, yeah.
Which I would probably play too much of on the Switch.
Yeah, because I didn't end up buying that. I actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I don't know why I haven't already bought that for PlayStation. But
It's not out on PlayStation.
It's not at all?
It is just Xbox and PC, because Microsoft paid for the funding for a lot of it.
I played it on a PlayStation controller. It must have been on Steam.
Mm-hmm.
I played that at Tapcade, where we host our events.
Gotcha.
They do that, don't they? That seems like, man, just having the portability of the Switch is just a game changer. Mm-hmm. You know, especially for unusual circumstances like what we do, where we actually take our consoles out to local places. You know, your average person doesn't do that.
Right.
But to have that opportunity, it's so much easier. I mean, you know, for our Smash tournament, and same with our fighting game tournaments, if, you know, you pay X amount of venue fee to get in the door, and then you have like a cash prize that, you know, an entry fee that 100% of it goes to the pot. But if you get, like $5 off if you bring a setup. And those communities are so much more likely, like the regulars are so much more likely to actually bring their PlayStation, possibly with a monitor, to these events, because then it allows for more people to play more casual and tournament games at any time.
Mm-hmm.
But to your average person, that's, you know, especially moving a monitor around, a lot of people play, you know, if they're playing their PlayStation, they probably have it on a TV, so they don't even have a monitor to bring.
Yeah, and I know also, I don't, you know.
Right, and
I'm not going to lug my giant TV out to a bar, you know.
Right, oh yeah, this will be great.
Yeah, great.
This isn't going to get knocked over. which I have always been surprised that we haven't had any damage to any hardware that people have ever brought to that.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, no spilled water, nothing knocked over. I've been pretty surprised. So that's good. But, you know, if you're not in a habit of bringing your system, of loading up, if you don't have a habit of doing that, then you're probably not going to start. But if you have the Switch, it is so much easier to just bring that.
Totally.
You know, you just have to make sure you have a charge cord. And if like for our case, we had extra monitors, all they would have to bring is their dock.
Mm-hmm.
But that's as far as that inconvenience goes. Totally. That's so much easier.
Yeah, that's just bringing like your thing in a like a little carrying case and then basically a plastic box.
Right. And then you have enough cables, screen where you can have multiple people playing and you don't feel squeezed on the screen.
Totally.
Yeah, it's just a really great deal for bringing back local co-op, which is funny because like as we talk about this processing power going online, it's actually more of an online-oriented service.
Yeah, that's kind of my big sort of turn off to the whole streaming thing. And
yeah,
I think that streaming kind of at this point is an inevitability, but I do, like, the main issues I have with it personally are a reliable internet is absolutely not everywhere, at least in the United States right now.
For sure.
Like other countries, sure, like that's going to be less of an issue. I know that Resident Evil 7 and Assassin's Creed Odyssey are like available for like streaming to your Switch in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's much more of like a great like backbone, and that's something that's more easily available there.
I listened to an NPR article today that was about, or, you know, an audio thing that was about why broadband essentially should be considered a basic service, like a basic human need. Because, you know, there are lots of good reasons that it promotes the economy, because, you know, if you live out in the country, if you aren't looking for a job that's like labor or farming or something like that, you know, you might not have the broadband, you might not have the internet to run an online business, like not properly. Mm-hmm. You know, if you need speed, you need speed, and it can be very difficult or expensive to do that. You know, so having broadband more readily available in the country, but even in the city, you know, I would take for granted, I work in construction as my day job, and you know, when we'll have laborers come in who are just temp workers, right? They'll come in, and I mean, at least half of them don't have smartphones. They've got flip phones, and some of them, I mean, they're like $5 phones, you know? And that's something I just take for granted. I get in my own world, and I forget that people don't just have a smartphone. Mm-hmm. They don't just have access to internet all the time. Like when I have coworkers that are like, oh, yeah, I got to, you know, over lunch, I got to go pay my bill, my phone bill, so that my data doesn't kick out. And I'm like, oh, right. Yeah. Like that's a reality that a lot of people, you know, live with. And when you have these online services, online oriented services, especially if it's not for something in your house, like if you tried to play on the go on your Switch, you know, if you're on the subway and it doesn't have Wi-Fi, even if it does, you know, is that ready to handle your game?
For the most case, absolutely not.
Right. So like even here, I mean, on some of our public transportation, we have free Wi-Fi, but there's a difference between free Wi-Fi and gaming Wi-Fi.
Absolutely. And like with the streaming stuff, I never actually felt comfortable signing up for the PlayStation Now free trial until I got fiber internet where I live now, you know? Mm-hmm. Like I just didn't really feel like, well, I'm barely going to get any use out of this. And
right.
Like, I've brought my PS4 when I was still in that trial period over to places where my friends lived, and they did not have great internet at all. And it was just absolutely terrible, you know?
Yeah. Because even when I go to my girlfriend's place, she has the very basic package of free internet. Mm-hmm. And when you're running a game, it's fine. Like, I really, especially when I'm plugged into a LAN cable, it's not so slow to be problematic. That's not the issue. The issue is downloading stuff.
Oh, I can imagine.
Oh, my gosh. It took, how long was it? It took like 72 hours or something. It took some insane amount of time to download Red Dead over there.
Oh, man. I could not imagine.
Oh, dude, it was rough. It was rough. And I just downloaded something recently. This was like a week ago. Mm-hmm. But at her place, it was Apex. So I downloaded Apex at her place on her PlayStation. And mm-hmm. then here at my place on my PlayStation, the difference was a 9-hour download and a 12-minute download.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, oh, man. At a certain point, I just need to bring her console over here, download it, and I'll right. still save
just do, like,
hours and hours.
Weekly patches or something like that over here, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see, first of all, if that stuff is true. Because, you know, I would absolutely play just the absolute crap out of Cuphead on Switch. I have not played it yet. I have been...
It's pretty sweet.
Like, I don't know. I'll eventually play it. I knew I was eventually going to, but I probably would have just waited until I get, like, some sort of affordable computer, because mine is garbage right now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm interested to see kind of whether or not that stuff is true. I'm also interested to see, like, if that stuff is true, what this kind of means for, like, just Xbox as a brand's, like, business plan going forward for this, like, next generation, I say in, like, heavy quotes.
Cause... Yeah, because I wonder how they're going to make release announcements, because, like, imagine if it's an E3-style setting mm-hmm. where you've got a conference and they're going out and they're releasing stuff, but they're also like, all right, here's our Switch news, and it's Microsoft announcing
right,
Switch news.
Right,
you know, do they bring Nintendo on for the announcement?
God,
you know,
wouldn't that be
on
wild.
A Nintendo Direct, are we going to be seeing, like, oh, Crackdown 3 is coming
God,
to
what
the
if they
Switch?
Announce, like, a Smash Bros. Character on, like, an Inside Xbox stream?
Oh, my.
That would be the wild.
Like, Ori
shit.
Is coming to
yeah, or
Ultimate.
Like Minecraft Steve or Banjo and Kazooie, which I would freak out.
For real. There's a Master Chef. He's coming. He's coming to Ultimate.
God, man. So my kind of thing that I'm thinking about is, like, I know that they know that they're kind of they're definitely in a solid second place right now. Like, in terms of, like, just console sales and really kind of brand.
Well, they're making moves, man.
They are making moves right now.
If Sony doesn't pick up the pace, you know, I think they're going to fall behind. We're going to have this next system because we're starting to hear rumors of, of, like, PlayStation 5 and stuff.
It's kind of getting to that point.
Yeah, it's rumor city. This it seems like this year might be the transition year.
Totally.
I mean, look right now. I mean, it's not, hey, look at this new stuff we're bringing.
Mm-hmm. Like, Sony's not even going to be at E3 this year because they were just like, we don't got anything.
Right.
It's like, okay, cool.
But
you're going
to
have a lot
that.
Of stuff next year.
Yeah,
but
right.
Even if they come back to E3, you know.
Yeah.
But I think it's really interesting to think about, like, maybe this is kind of, like, setting a foundation for, like, their game plan going forward. Maybe they're just like, yeah, we don't really care too much about selling systems. We just kind of want you to play our games and, like, get in, like, buy into, like, our platforms and stuff like that. I think that's kind of a smart thing to do.
Yeah.
Because I think that all of the moves that they're making with, like, Game Pass is probably one of the best value deals I have seen in video games pretty much,
really?
Like, of all time. It's just really, really solid. Like, if you buy 2 AAA games a year, like, that is, like, at launch, that is absolutely, you are getting your money's worth for sure.
Man, that, I might check that out, because if all that comes to Switch, that would be a great value for me too, because there are a lot of stuff I can't play with the setups I've got now.
Right.
And I really don't buy more than 2 AAA games the whole
year. No,
what I do is buy, like,
if I had an Xbox, I don't think I would
games.
Buy games. I would probably just have Game Pass.
Yeah.
Like, just kind of full stop. I really thought about doing the, I forget what they were calling it, the Xbox All Access deal they rolled out, like, towards the end of last year, where it's like $20 a month for 2 years, and they just give you an Xbox One S with 2 years of Xbox Live Gold and Game Pass. I'm like,
that's
man,
nice.
That looks really good.
Yeah.
But everything that I was playing at the time was pretty much a PS4 exclusive and all of that stuff, so I just kind of missed the ball on that. But I'm kind of excited to see where that goes. That's kind of some of the wildest kind of gaming news that I've heard in a while, because...
Yeah,
or at least kind of speculation, because you don't, like, just from kind of, like, growing up kind of following all this stuff, you never really think of any of, like, the big players ever working together like this.
Right.
And it's just kind of a cool, cool thing. And I think, I know Sony right now is kind of in a, they seem to be in a weird, like, rediscovering themselves phase.
Yeah.
Because I feel like goodwill towards them towards the end of this generation has definitely dropped off a little bit with mostly just kind of the crossplay stuff and a lot of the decisions they made on their back end that they're trying to move past and go forward with. But I think that if the console generation next one were to start like right now, I think Xbox would absolutely just be taking leaps and bounds forward.
It might be cool on an episode here sometime to track the current generation of each system and just have like a bullet point thing of like, here are the ups and downs and changes, you know, swinging to the pendulum.
That'd be kind
of
cool.
Yeah, because, you know, I read an article, so this is Kansas City related, but there are a million restaurants that have popped up in the past few years here in Kansas City. And one of my friends who is a marketer by trade, he usually keeps his opinions to himself, but he has a lot of experience in what he does, and his advice is valuable. So he explained, he addressed these articles that were saying like, oh, the terrible weather we've had, just ice and snow, you know, every week has really had a detrimental effect on all these restaurants. You know, because of this, people are banding together to try to support the businesses, yada, yada, yada. And so he chimed in and he was like, all right, when something like this happens, where you have just an abundance, you have too many restaurants. And you can tell that because these restaurants moved into retail spaces and you have to do a lot of work to change that retail space into a restaurant space. Mm-hmm. Very expensive. And it's already very hard to keep a restaurant afloat, a new one, you know?
Right.
And so he was suggesting like there were signs that there's a bubble about to pop. We're starting to see those signs and people are asking for sympathy, but it's like, well, you saw, you know, here's the issue was that, you know, the question he asked was like, if you see these people struggling, ask yourself, what have they been doing to remedy this? Because his answer was one of the first things that goes when a company is doing well is their advertising. Because when they're good, like this is relevant to the PlayStation because when Sony has been doing well, they haven't seen a need to redefine themselves or to just change the way that they are portrayed across the industry. So like with these restaurants, the idea is, you know, when you're doing well, you don't need to advertise because you have people coming in. But when you're not doing well, you don't want to advertise because you think you can't afford it. Mm-hmm. But you can't just drop advertising and expect people to come through the door.
Right.
So with Sony dragging their feet, with like the further they've pulled ahead, the less that they have really, you know, the more goodwill that they've lost.
Right.
And it just you see Xbox, you see Microsoft buying up studios over the past, you know, several years. And now this merge, you know, basically that's kind of what it feels like. This move with Nintendo, you know, those are two companies who are agile. They're willing to take these risks that I think are great moves. And Sony's kind of just doing the thing that has continued to work for them.
Yeah, it feels very much like 2006 Sony, where they're just like, hey, this PS3 is real cool. You should buy it because we made the PS2. You know,
ooh,
hey, you're gonna drop $600 on this thing.
Yeah, that's so expensive when it came out.
Nobody did,
right?
Like,
it's like there are no games on this platform.
And like, sure, like they eventually like caught up and actually overtook the 360 in terms of like console sales during lifetime,
right?
But like, man, it was
rough there.
It was an absolute just ridiculous uphill battle. And like, I don't think the Xbox One is ever gonna catch up to the PS4. Like, I think it is at this point too far behind. And I think they have kind of acknowledged that and they're just kind of like, all right, cool. We're going to focus on stuff that people really do kind of care about. Like the backwards
that
compatibility
require
thing,
new hardware.
Exactly. Like the backwards compatibility thing was fucking brilliant and came out of nowhere. And the fact that they're still supporting all that stuff is really cool. Like I'm seeing literally weekly, just like, hey, we added this game to backwards compatibility. You're welcome. And I'm like, wow, like good on you.
You know what Xbox has that Microsoft does not. Oh, I'm saying that backwards. Sony does not. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'm saying it right. Sony does not allow you to change your username on PlayStation, and that is bananas.
Yeah. So
I want to change my. Let me pay you $10 to change my dang name.
So I think the way from like my kind of rudimentary understanding of like how databases work is, I think that you assign basically somebody like a key value. And that is like key value could be the wrong term, but bear with me here. You assign somebody basically a value and then assign like all data to that particular value. Mm-hmm. In a lot of cases where you want to have something that can be like agile or like something like that, like with Steam, you can change your display name all you want. So there's like a display name field, but mm-hmm. you still have that account name, like your account ID is the exact same thing. I think they set the account name to be that like key field.
Yeah.
So, which is why, like, if you like say, hey, I want to change my name, they're just like, all right, cool. You can't play some of your games, and you can't play online for some things, right. and something might get patched in,
I hope
in,
you didn't want your save files.
Right, like, because that just means, well, it's basically, at that point, you are literally just making another account.
Right.
You know, which is a bummer, mm-hmm. but that's kind of the only thing they can do. They really shot themselves on the foot really bad.
Yeah, with there's PS3 no system. Going
and,
back.
Like, PSN is still kind of archaic, and it... Like, Xbox Live is still kind of improving and
dude,
a lot of that stuff.
Can I, so right now in Apex, they don't have a function to, like, party up with mm-hmm. the randos that you just played with. So that means two things. You can't, it's harder to group up. Like, you have to just remember someone's name because there's no, unless you look through your recent players, but I haven't even tried that. So, mm-hmm. you know, when you play with 59 other people, I'm not sure if it only shows your teammates or what. But either way, it's difficult. And the... To make a long story short, it's beneficial to use the PlayStation Party chat, the mm-hmm. audio,
yeah.
For mics instead of the game chat. Well, when you do that, you, of course, have to go to the name, pull up their profile, send them a party invite, wait for the party invite to go through, and then mm-hmm. back out to the game. And the PlayStation menus are not fast.
They're they're not great.
They're
well, fine, but they're definitely not like...
Well, they're fine snappy. When you don't have to use them. The thing is, in Apex, like... Mm-hmm. I'm just sitting in the menu. It's not like I've got processing power right, running in the right. background. And it just takes ages, especially if you're trying to invite someone who's not on your friends list. Mm-hmm. It is so difficult. And it's like, yo, like, it's literally taking me like 2 full minutes to invite this person, because especially if they're not my friend, because I have to mm-hmm. search in a certain way and I have to do all this. And,
right.
and if you're not party leader, it'll like suggest to invite someone, but you still can't invite them. Maybe that's a setting that I haven't found. But yeah, that stuff has been bugging me lately, and it feels like it should just be faster. I had that issue with Overwatch 2 sometimes. I just struggle with that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's a me thing, but certainly it hasn't gone anywhere.
I can relate. It's really nice to be able to just, like, snappily just, like, hey, cool, let's play a game. Just hop in, you know. It's really nice to be able to, like, keep that join going.
I kind of wish you could, like, do what Microsoft originally showed with the Kinect, mm-hmm. where everything's just, like, Xbox, invite Cam to the party, mm-hmm. you know, where everything is just on voice commands and stuff. And I don't use any of PlayStation's voice commands. Like, it probably would help me out to some extent. Mm-hmm. But, yep, just wish that stuff was a little...
Honestly, I forget both of those support voice commands right. still. But, you know. So let's go ahead and we'll take a quick break here and come back and talk about a couple more things going on.
Attention everyone in the galaxy. This is Ian and Chris from Echo Station Podcast. We are stranded here on Hoth, and we need your help desperately.
It's imperative that everyone listen to our message. The Empire is closing in with every intention to shut us and our message down. Make sure to follow us at Echo Station Cast on the Twitter sphere, and listen to us every other Monday for all your up-to-date Star Wars news and needs.
You can't stop the signal, Mal.
Wrong smuggler! Cut!
Hey friends, welcome back. So just a little bit over the break that you obviously did not all hear, I was talking a little bit about dreams, and I kind of want to go into that a little bit here. Dreams is the...
What's the spookiest nightmare you've ever had?
Not, anyway.
Gotcha.
So Dreams is a upcoming PS4 game that... is by Media Molecule, the people who brought us the wonderful Little Big Planet and the sort of wonderful Little Big Planet carding.
Carding?
Yeah, there's a card game.
Oh, yeah.
It was fine.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
That sounds... You know.
So they announced this game at, like, the PS4, like, reveal.
Yeah, and this, like, was a long time ago.
2013, like, February 2013, I think that was.
Yeah.
And I watched that. I'm like, all right, I don't know what the hell that was.
Yeah.
And then, like, they kept, like, kind of talking about it, or, like, really not even talking about it. They were, like, radio silent on this thing for years. Mm-hmm. And then they started talking about it. It's like, hey, we're going to have an open beta coming out. And then, like, that year ended, and it was like, hey, it's still coming. And, like, it's kind of a miracle that it's still
that
in development.
Yeah, that it didn't
and
just get the kibosh.
The fact that they recently just had like their closed creators beta, and it's a miracle that that is actually really good.
Yeah.
It's kind of a testament to how like Sony is treating like their first party studios from like that software development side, because they're just like, yeah, do whatever you want, man. Like,
right.
Just go for it. But no, Dreams looks absolutely just fucking rad. From like, I spent a lot of time watching some of the streams on once they lifted the NDA for the closed beta creators program. Just the stuff that people were coming up with was absolutely fucking phenomenal. People make you know, full games in Dreams because it's... Oh yeah, those sirens are on our end. If you're driving and you hear those,
yep,
you're not getting pulled over. You might be, but
you might be.
You're probably not getting pulled over. Anyway, so they basically, like, it's just a lot of these people basically just going at this creative tool where you can literally just kind of make whatever the hell you want. And, like, it's kind of a weird thing to, like, describe that to people as, like, oh, it's a video game where you can make video games, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of a weird sell.
Yeah, it is.
That's kind of what, it feels like. Especially the natural...
Especially because it's not on, it's not a PC thing, it's right. A PlayStation.
It's a game engine, basically, or like a game creation tool, essentially, or really just a creative tool, because you can also just make kind of whatever the hell you want and then just share it with people. And
yeah, it's a cool, it's like
networking system.
It's like an amped up version of how in Minecraft you can like make a calculator, you know, and you can make simple machines that are amazing just because you have, you know, you can build a working circuit board in the game. Like, that stuff's crazy.
Yeah.
But this just takes that idea and just turns it up to 11.
Yeah. So I'm not really kind of a creative person in the sense that I like to kind of like tinker around with like level creators and stuff like that. Like, I'm very excited for Super Mario Maker, but really just to play the cool stuff that other people have made. And I'm kind of the exact same way on this one. I feel like I'm going to get my enjoyment out of that game from playing a bunch of really cool levels and just like checking in on it, like, just, hey, I've got some free time, I'm just gonna see what's hopping around in Dreams right now, you know. And
yeah,
I think I'm gonna get a lot of enjoyment from like showing other people that. Which kind of leads into my next 2 points all in one. So I saw that they posted like this big thing on the PlayStation blog, like, hey, we're launching early access. And I'm like, huh, okay. Because that's, I think, I could be wrong here, but I think that's only like the second game that's ever been still considered early access on the PlayStation platform. They usually typically only allow full releases.
Right.
They don't have like the preview program that Xbox has or Steam early access, you know.
PUBG is not out on PlayStation, right? I don't think that ever happened.
It is, but it is actually. But it is? I think it's the 1.0 version. So okay. It's like the
quote,
because
I know that
full
was
a
thing where it was like Xbox got all this stuff because it did have the preview program.
Yeah.
And that was kind of another example of Sony being hogtied by, you know, or hamstrung by their own old decisions, like hardware and software.
For sure. But I think it's super interesting that they're kind of letting their, like, at least from this perspective, obviously Fortnite being the exception because it's fucking Fortnite. I think the fact that they're letting their first party studios just kind of be like, yeah, hey, just do a soft release. That's fine. Whatever, you know, I think that's super great. I think early access for something like this absolutely is going to really, really, really be a really,
really,
really, really, really, really, really, it's going to be a pretty cool thing. And I think that's the way
it's going to be really pretty cool. That's a strong sell.
I get my words mixed up sometimes. I'm sorry. I think that's going to be really beneficial for the game as a platform, I think, in this sense, because you're going to have people just hopping in. The early access is coming out, I believe, this spring. There was no like set date for it, but it's only $30. I'm totally going to buy in on it. They said it is totally for the people who are like, you're a creator and you want to kind of get your foot in the door first, or like you're like some sort of like content creator or like a curator, and like you kind of want to just kind of see what's kind of out there and like get in, basically, at like get your foot in the door as soon as like the house is built, essentially.
Right. Man, if they have that, is there any sort of VR compatibility? I remember ages ago I saw them like using tools that might have been PlayStation, like the Move sticks.
So I heard that as well, but I haven't seen that for sure. I would look that up right now, but that would be a lot of dead air in the middle of talking, and that's great
radio. Hey, that's what Post is for.
You're right.
No, you know, if they made it so PSVR was an option where you could be inside this world as you're creating a game, it's that hands-on stuff that really makes VR pop. And if they did that, you know, PlayStation VR has been getting better over time. I'm still not really going to get it because I'm more interested in the Vive when I finally get my computer built. But I think that would be a real boon for PlayStation VR as a service because, you know, you can take this already open-ended just creation tool, but now you can really immerse yourself in it and reach out and touch your creation. You're not just using sticks.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a really cool thing and allow, honestly, just get really cool. Like, a lot of people have said that, like, modding, like, a lot of big game developers get their start from just doing mods, you know, and I think this could be a really cool stepping stone
with, like, how hacking works. It's exactly. Like, oh, you broke our game the most, you're hired.
Exactly, yeah. And I think that having people make this cool stuff in Dreams, like, even if it's just as, like, a hobby, like, that's a really cool thing to, like, get themselves out there creatively. But, like, for some people, if this is, like, them wanting to get their foot in the door for, like, a job doing something in the games industry, that's a really cool thing. But I'm really, really, really excited, going back on that again, to check that out whenever that drops. I'm definitely going to spend a whole lot of time with it. I'm actually going to commit to doing just a kind of weekly Dreams check-in on this show once that hits early access. I'm going to kind of play a couple of things, take a few notes, and just, like, say, hey, here's a couple of cool things that you should totally, you know, check out. I think that would be a really neat thing to kind of showcase that mode off a little bit, kind of.
Yeah.
Recurring segments are cool, I guess. Yeah. You know, I guess that's good broadcasting. Yeah. But.
You know, so the thing I remember watching somebody create in that demo, you know, half a decade ago, was they built this, like, cityscape that kind of looked like King's Row in Overwatch. Like, it's a kind of old-timey looking London streets kind of vibe. And they messed around. They made all these buildings that you could custom make, and then you could save as an object so you could populate a whole bunch of them in, change the sizes. They did lighting. They had, like, an avatar that they moved that you could do just a ton of things with. But, you know, I keep thinking about that VR stuff where they were basically just reaching out, and it seemed like everything was so easy. Like, it was so intuitive. Like, you had such a huge toolbox, but using those tools was easy, and that's the most important part. You know, plenty of games have a big toolbox, but it's not easy to, you know, you could do a ton of stuff in Minecraft, but it's not that simple, you know. Right. Even like our friend Jeremy was showing us the it's like Factory Evolved or something. What is that game called?
I forgot what that game was called, and I feel bad about that.
Me too. He has really sold us on that game.
It looked rad.
Yeah, it basically takes all the stuff I wanted of Minecraft where
that's gonna kill me. I'm gonna remember that at like 3 a.m, just wake up in a cold sweat and immediately know what this game is called.
yeah, we have to go back. That was pretty cool because it had all these tools that were much easier to use. You could build a whole stack, a huge column of blocks instead of placing every individual block.
Yeah, that was really, really nice.
Yeah, so like, the quality of life, stuff like good. That. Yeah, because he built, you know, when we were talking about Into the Breach a lot, he went and found some pixel art and made one of the mechs in the game. But people do that in games like this all the time, but the ease with which he did it is the most impressive thing. Like, he was able to just crank that out pretty fast because the tools are specifically made to make that easy. And that's great because that's the stuff I wish had been in Minecraft when, well, it's not even in there now, but back when I played a lot, man, I just wanted those two. I just wanted to build a huge thing and I didn't want to have to press right trigger like 50 times.
Right.
You know, and that's for something small, but yeah, I'm really excited about that. The sheer magnitude of different types of things you can play, it reminds me of, well, mods, you know, like you'd said in Warcraft 3, I remember it was like, oh, you can make custom games. And I went into it thinking like, okay, so it's just going to be regular old Warcraft 3, except, you know, all the enemies have silly hats on or something.
Yeah.
Or something more serious than that, but pretty standard stuff. Well, sometimes I got that, but really it was like, oh, there are these series of mini games where, like, basically the floor is lava and, you know, there's a circle getting smaller. It's not Battle Royale.
Isn't that where Dota came from?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's where Dota originally came from. And but even that is like a more standard mod for that game because it still follows a lot of, it takes a lot of the normal assets, character abilities and movement and buildings and all that stuff. But it's just the really wacko stuff where you can be like, oh, someone designed a tic-tac-toe game using some weird mechanic in this and it actually is fun.
Yeah.
You know, and just weird stuff where it's like, oh, this is like, you know, you made Pong Mm-hmm. You made like a projectile that the enemies use, or that the people use, and you play Pong in Warcraft 3 using the units or something. And it's just fascinating seeing what people can do when they get that toolbox that's so big. And the company says, hey, we want you to make weird stuff. Yeah. Like, we invite you to make weird mods.
So a lot of the stuff that I saw from just the footage, because I spent a lot of time just checking out, like, oh, hey, cool. Like, people are making this kind of neat stuff in mm-hmm. Dreams. A lot of it was, like, just recreating other games, which you kind of expect with something like that. You know, people are going to, like, somebody literally just made, like, Mario, like, just 1-1.
Yeah.
With, like, and I'm like, all right, you know, sure, people are going to do that. But people went through and, like, painstakingly remade PT.
Oh, yeah. And oh, that was in Dreams?
That was in Dreams. Oh, I saw that. I didn't realize that. So good. It felt like almost this, like, as close as you were going to get for like a remake of like a spitting image. And the fact that this tool is so powerful enough that you can do that is wild.
Right. Because that's a remade, like, complex kind of thing where people, you know, you go on the loop and if X happens. Then
exactly. Yeah. And people remade like Dead Space or like parts of Dead Space, obviously not the whole game, but yeah. And this was awesome. And this, they'd only had this thing for like a month, like, which is absolutely nuts. So I think getting that, I definitely think that getting this in early access in the hands of people who want to make cool stuff and people who want to consume cool stuff and like kind of be on the forefront of that, like myself, I think that's absolutely a win-win. And I think that if I were to pick any really any Sony first party game to be in early access, it would absolutely be this one, because then you can get really good feedback and it can kind of grow after that. Also, if you buy it for $30 on early access, they've confirmed that you get the full game for free, so that's rad.
Yeah, that is nice.
But also, at what point is it considered just the full release? I think
right. We live in a weird decade where
Fortnite PUBG is still technically early access. Right. What?
Yeah. Weird.
Yeah. It's
one of
just
the biggest games,
thing.
The biggest game, arguably in the whole world, mm-hmm. and it's technically not released yet.
Exactly.
You know, so
it's not 1.0, which is just absolutely wild. But
yeah,
I'm really, really looking forward to that. And I'm honestly really excited to just kind of share like with you guys here on the show and like the listeners, just like cool stuff that I found just kind of digging around in that. I'm really excited.
Kind of like best of.
Yeah, totally. I think it just seems neat and
for sure.
I definitely like making sure that like people get like a cool shout out for, because like obviously all of the stuff is like you're spending time and effort. You're putting like a little bit of yourself into that little quote game, or and you can.
It would
just
be cool if we had like an online thing. And we've talked about doing bringing back the game nights where you know, especially it's easy with something like Apex where it's like, hey, it's free, hop on, we can all play together. Oh, you're new, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, to be like, yo, you got Dreams. All right, we're gonna have like.
Just
you know,
do
this
like a little,
Sunday,
like, collaborative
submit,
game jam or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
like
that'd
submit
be
what
really,
you got.
Really cool.
You know, maybe we don't even vote, but we just like show off. Mm-hmm. Oh, this person made this week, and
absolutely.
It's pretty great.
That would I would really be into that. Yeah. But yeah, that seems really cool. I think that's a super smart move, and yeah, it's kind of unprecedented. Excuse me, as far as like Sony's concerned, because yeah, this is their first game that's done this, which is kind of neat. It shows they're kind of getting along with the times a little bit, you know.
But and again, it is nice that they didn't just can this thing.
Totally. I whenever they were just like, hey, we're showing off Dreams a couple years ago, I'm like, all right, this thing again. Right. But I'm like, all right, no, this looks absolutely phenomenal. Like, they kind of delivered on their promise. They said, what, like, six-ish years ago, something like that?
It's a long time to not
most people
a
don't,
product.
You know. But obviously the full version's not in our hands, and we don't know, like, what their plan for support is going forward. But Media Molecule's always been really good at supporting that, so I don't really have a reason to believe that they won't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you got anything else that you want to talk about? Or I
the
think
only,
that's pretty good for me.
I think we're good. The only thing I would say is, you know, even for everybody who's not here in Kansas City, on Wednesdays we run an event called Strictly Casual. Mm-hmm. We show up, we try to bring couch co-op back, you know, in old style fashion. We hang out, rub elbows on the couch, and play especially my favorite old indie games. But people can bring in single player stuff to demo. Like, I could bring in Red Dead so somebody doesn't have to go buy it to try it out.
I feel like me showing up on my PS4 most nights is just me or somebody else just plays Onrush the whole night.
Yeah. Well,
just
cool
fine. That game rules, but
so that's pretty cool. So if you're in Kansas City, come check that out. You can find that across our social media. But if you're not, we want to start streaming that because, you know, I had so much fun this past week playing Tricky Towers, finally getting friends to actually check it out. It's a funny game to watch because, you know, especially if you can hear people shout and just, you know, when you have a tall tower and you're about to win and the whole thing just goes crumbling down.
Yeah.
It is so funny. Just like, oh no, everything. But so we're going to start streaming that stuff because we want to show off our favorite indies, and we want to honestly give you guys a taste of some of the great games out there that you can have your buddies play the next time they're over.
Right.
There are a lot of hidden gems out there. So if you have any recommendations, I'd love to hear them, especially if they're on PS4. But if they are on PC, if they're on Steam, we have a way to play those too. But let us know. Tune into the stream. We'd love to hear feedback. I mean, I plan to have that Twitch running, or that stream running up on Twitch every Wednesday from now on. Awesome. So,
and that's about like 6:30-ish Central, roughly Central time.
Yeah.
So
probably stream will really go up at about 7. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I really want to bring people together to play stuff that they've never played before.
Yeah.
And see, there's something special to having somebody play a game for the first time with other people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, that's how I played Into the Breach. And like, I showed up to this like, casual social gaming event and sat and played a single player game on a couch for 4 hours.
Yep. But that was cool too, because you and Jeremy both on the couch.
Yeah, and I'd never met him before, and we just were just like talking through these turns, like we were just like a well-oiled machine. And
it is fun.
That game's really good.
Yes,
man, that game is really good.
I was shocked at how two-player that game could be.
Yeah, kind of same. That is a good partner game.
Yeah, like a 1.5-player game,
right?
Kind of thing.
Right. Right, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's super cool. So tune into that stream, and if you have any recommendations, I always love finding new hidden gems, especially indie games. But if they're older and I don't have to pay $60 for them, I will play just about anything.
Yeah, so. I mean, that's fair. So I think that will do it for our time today. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out and listening. If you want to check out more cool podcasts, check out the rest of the shows on the Heroes Podcast Network. You can find them at Heroes Podcasts, I think, on Twitter, or just heroespodcasts.com. It's got a whole run of shows. There's a lot of them, so definitely going to be something to enjoy for everybody there. So that's our time. I'm Cam, for Thomas. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we will see you all later.
Cool. See you next week.